Today, an FDA advisory committee held hearings on a new drug designed to boost female sexual desire. Dubbed Intrinza, the drug is a testosterone skin patch that would take effect several weeks after application. If today's committee recommends the drug and if it's approved, then Intrinza would be the first drug of its kind for women. Procter & Gamble, the drug's inventor, has argued that Intrinza is ready for the market after 6 months of testing, but scientists and women's health advocates warn that it's too soon and that the potential side effects may be too risky. If you are curious about this kind of drug, about its possible side effects or its possible effects, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Joanne Silberner, NPR science correspondent, joins us in Studio 3A to explain the latest. Good to have you on the program, as always, Joanne.
Good to be here.
So Procter & Gamble came up with Intrinza. What are the medical reasons for this new drug?
Well, a lot of people don't realize this, but women produce their own testosterone, and ovaries produce about half of the testosterone that women produce. It's in lower levels than in men, but it's there, and it's related to sexual desire. Now, most times when women get hysterectomies, their ovaries are removed. That takes away one of the sources of testosterone. And there's estimates that about 17% to 30% of women who have hysterectomies complain later about a loss of sexual desire. That translates to about 2 to 3 million women a year. That's a big market.
Well, we also hear of a survey by Procter and Gamble to say that found that some of the 30 million women who are naturally menopausal, in other words, still have their ovaries, 3 million are distressed by their lack of sexual desire.
Right, and I think that if they get approval to market this, they will eventually try to expand the marketing. They'll have to get FDA permission to expand it, to advertise it to other women. But I think that if they get approval to market this, doctors will write prescriptions for many more women than the ones who've had their ovaries removed surgically.
So this is something that, like Viagra, may expand.
Yes. But the company's promised not to market it like Viagra because they're saying they consider it not to be a Viagra because it's not something that you put on Friday night. It's something that you wear permanently, or, you know, their patches, you replace them twice during the week, but you wear them all the time to in order to have a sort of a slow and steady level of testosterone rather than a sudden burst.
And as I understand it, it's not just testosterone. At least for some women, you'd also have to be taking another hormone.
Well, they've tested it so far only in women who are already taking estrogen. Remember, these are women who had hysterectomies. And it used to be the custom before the results of the women's health trial came out a few years ago that women would also take estrogen. That's one of the questions that remain. What is it, you know, they've looked at this in women who are already taking estrogen, what will happen in women not taking estrogen?
Because a couple of years ago we found that estrogen could lead to terrible cancer problems and other things.
Cancer and heart disease. Not terrible, but increased risk of it. So women stop taking that. The question becomes they haven't really run these trials out long enough to see that, in the opinion of a lot of the people at the hearing today, that Procter & Gamble need to run these trials out a little bit longer. On the other hand, Procter & Gamble have data in animals, and they do have data running out, I think, about 78 weeks, and they're pretty confident.
Now, we've seen in the estrogen therapy case, and most recently in Vioxx, concerns about drugs being rushed to market. Is there concern about that in this case?
Yes, and it's actually going to be very interesting to see what the FDA is going to do. You know, today they're going to hear from their committee. Their committee will recommend either for or against it, and then the committee is made up of outside academic experts. The agency itself is under enormous political pressure to look at drugs with a little more cynically because of the problems with Vioxx, the problems with some of the other drugs. It'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, on the other hand, there were a few women testified today who had hysterectomies, who've had their lives diminished by their lack of sex drive, and they want to see this drug available, so the FDA is going to have to weigh those two things.
How do you measure a woman's sex drive?
You ask them. Some women got a placebo, and some women got a patch, you know, by a placebo, I mean they got a patch with no testosterone in it. Other women got a patch with testosterone in it, and they were asked to report back to researchers about, let's call them, satisfying sexual encounters. And they counted that up. They also measured distress levels. They asked the women, you know, while they were wearing a patch with or without drug, you know, do you feel good or bad about your sex life? Do you feel good or bad about your sex drive? So they measured a lot of different things. Do you, you know, were women fantasizing? You know, all these other activities. And pretty consistently across the board, there was a slight increase. It wasn't a huge increase. You know, the numbers were An average of three satisfying sexual encounters, sort of as a baseline,
per month.
The placebo brought it up to 4 a month, and the patch with the testosterone in it brought it up to 5 a month. Mm-hmm. It's not a big, big difference.
But did the women who were taking it find that the difference was significant?
Very few women dropped out of the trial. You know, was it because this is a serious concern of theirs or because they were really feeling a difference is hard to tell. But a lot of times when you do drug trials, you get a lot of people dropping out. They're not interested. Why should I wear this patch anymore? I don't even know if I'm getting the drug. Women stuck with it. So there's an interest there. There's some level of effectiveness, but there may also be some level of danger, and that's what the FDA has got to measure out.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to join our conversation, the number is 800-989-8255. You can also send us email, TOTN at NPR.org. Let's talk with Brian, who's calling from Hamilton, Michigan.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
My question is it just for menopausal women, or is this for, like, for instance, my wife, since she had childbirth, her sex drive has gone to zero? Does it fall within that category as well?
I think that that's going to be a while before the company introduces it that way, if at all. What this drug specifically does is it deals with low testosterone levels. If your wife has a low testosterone level, then, and if this drug were available, your doctor would be able to prescribe it and see if that works. There are a lot of other reasons, though, and I'm glad you asked your question, because that was one of the issues that has come up today at the hearing, is all the other reasons for low sex drive. It can be a side effect from other drugs can diminish the sex drive. Stress, you know, having a little baby, stress can diminish sex drive. Depression can diminish sex drive. A history of sexual abuse. There are, you know, 5 or 6 or 8 other things that can diminish the sex drive, and I think one of the concerns of the critics of this is that doctors won't explore those, because these other conditions are treatable and should be addressed.
They might see this as the first option or a panacea.
It's an easy option.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's fine. I was just going to say, we have gone to, and had tests done, and she does have what the doctors would consider a semi-low testosterone level, but they kind of like offhandedly just said, don't worry about it, it'll change eventually. It's been 7 years.
I'm not one to question doctors, and I'm not an MD myself. But you might want to see if you might want to go to see another doctor. I don't know whether these doctors were male or female. You might want to try a female doctor who might be a little bit more sympathetic.
Okay,
Brian, thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
Bye bye. Is that a test for low testosterone? Is that an easy thing to do?
It's expensive, and actually, that's one of the issues with this drug. Is that if there were an easy test to do, you just see they have low testosterone. Clearly, the drug's indicated. You give it, but it's a fairly expensive test.
All right. Let's talk now with Renee, and Renee is in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Hi. My spouse had a panhysterectomy back in 98 and has since experienced extremely low sex drive. I was curious if the FDA does approve this, how long before it goes to market?
I can't answer that. And the second question that you haven't asked that I also can't answer is, how much will this cost? I asked the company that today, and they have not set a price on it. I think companies are superstitious about talking about that before they receive FDA approval. In terms of how soon it would be available, they've been making this patch for research purposes, so I don't think it would take them all that long to gear up.
What about the other effects of testosterone? Will it be marketed for a decrease in hot flashes, the other things that testosterone helps with?
They're not looking to market it for that, no.
Hmm. What about side effects? There have been, in earlier testosterone applications, unwanted side effects from the hormone.
Certainly, when you give a woman testosterone, you chance the side effects of acne and excess hair growth. And in fact, that did occur in some women in this study. But again, it wasn't enough to make them give up on the drug. They had very few dropouts. It was relatively mild acne, relatively mild hair growth, and the women seemed willing to put up with it.
Hmm. Renee, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you very much, Neil. Love your show.
Thank you. We're talking today about the FDA's consideration of a testosterone patch to treat women with low libido. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Joanne Silberner, I did want to ask, the FDA, as we mentioned earlier, has been taking a lot of public relations hits of late. Is that going to, do you think, affect, you're being asked about how quickly this might come on market, is that going to make them more cautious, do you think?
I think so. It's, you know, the agency is not supposed to be political. It's supposed to consider the science, but they've been under heavy pressure from Congress. They've been under heavy public scrutiny. Every single drug has risks. Every single drug has benefits. They've got to weigh this, and the benefits for this are not life and death. And I think that's, if you're asking me to guess or to handicap the FDA, mm-hmm. I would guess that that's going to affect their thinking to some degree, but you never know. You know, they've done some surprising things in the past.
There are also, as I understand it, other kinds of similar preparations also being tested that may be coming on downstream, a gel, a pill. This is going to be obviously a precursor for all of those as well.
Yeah. At least 10 or 12 by my count, and some of them are in human testing already. So, yeah, I think that if this one doesn't go through, we're going to see more. If this one goes through, we're also going to see more. This is a big market out there.
I think various people quoted as they see the market in the billions.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk with Margaret. Margaret joins us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
Before even the first gentleman caller called, my first thought was, oh, great, here's another thing wrong with us women that they're going to give us a pill for. Half the people I know that are stay-at-home moms are on antidepressants because we're supposed to be super women. And now here's another one. Now we've got to take a pill to be super hot. And, you know, maybe this is just normal. I can appreciate if you've had a hysterectomy, that might be helpful. But I just think here we go again with some new thing that we have to, you know, to do. Maybe this is normal to not want to have sex every minute of the day. Maybe life is just tricky, and maybe the guys should just get over it. So that's my comment.
I could only comment on that last part, not likely. But Joanne, you can talk to the other points that Margaret made.
I think that, you know, one of the issues with the drug Vioxx was in its marketing. It seemingly was being marketed to everyone when it was really appropriate, excuse me, only for people who had stomach problems with the other drugs. I think with this one, it'll be interesting to see if Procter & Gamble does get approval to market it. They'll obviously advertise it. You know, how will they market it as a treatment for a condition, or will they market it as a treatment for life?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, how consumers respond will control how they market it.
And we also forget, I think, that Viagra, when it first went on the market, didn't take off immediately. We didn't immediately see those hot tub ads on television.
No, they were very careful to stick to the erectile dysfunction diagnosis. That was only for people with erectile diagnosis. It wasn't if you wanted a hot weekend. Recently, Pfizer, the manufacturer, was reprimanded by the FDA and had to pull an ad that said, you know, basically, if you want to be hot, take this drug. And they had to pull that ad off the market after many people had already seen it, but they did have to pull the ad.
Margaret, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk now with... there we go. John. John is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I am a surgeon, and I have practices in North Carolina and also one that I'm associated with in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm not an OBGYN. I'm actually a plastic surgeon, but my father is an OBGYN. And I don't know when news of this drug hit the mainstream media, but I'd be willing to bet it was Tuesday, because the number of calls that we have gotten about this has gone through the roof. And it's not even something that I would ever even deal with. My father, however, said that one out of every five calls he's received in the past 2 days have been people asking, hey, can I get a script for this thing?
Yeah, there's been some internet traffic. I actually just went to check on the internet, and there's some sites that are claiming to have it available, which I doubt. I imagine Procter & Gamble is keeping its product under wraps. It's not allowed to market it now, but there are some internet sites that are claiming to have it, so I imagine that's generating some interest.
And if John's any indication, the market out there is going to be pretty big, do you think, John?
I believe it's going to be huge. And a funny thing that I started doing just today, really, was kind of taking a little tick mark of how many people calling about it were males looking for it for either their, you know, for their significant others. And it's been a little bit less than half.
I'm going to let Neil comment on that one.
I'm going to say, John, thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to say, Joanne Silberner, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Neil.
And I'm going to say tomorrow, if you're looking for that perfect holiday gift, you should tune in. It'll be Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here with a roundup of the best science books of 2004, plus science gifts for the kids. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation Science Friday. We'll see you Monday. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.